Welcome to the Property Management Mastermind Show with your host, Brad Larson. Brad owns one of the fastest growing property management companies in San Antonio, Texas. This podcast is for property managers by property managers. You'll hear from industry leading professionals on best practices, new ideas, success stories, and lessons learned. This is your opportunity to learn about the latest industry buzz surrounding property management, as well as tips and strategies to improve your business. Now here's your host, Brad Larson.
Hello everyone, this is Brad Larson, host of the Property Management Mastermind Podcast. To see a complete list of the offers and discounts we have worked to provide, visit our website at propertymanagementmastermind.com. In there you will find additional discounts from Tenant Turner, Citizen Home Solutions, PMW Websites, and several others. Also be sure to check out our Seminar and Conferences tab, where we highlight different conferences going around the country, business and property management related. Lastly, be sure to seek out the Facebook group we have started and become a member. In that group, the PM community at large, to include vendors, are welcome to join.
Are you tired of chasing tenants to comply with having renter's insurance? Insurance Management Group can solve this problem with a master tenant's insurance policy. Keep tenants in compliance with your lease agreement and help protect all parties involved. A master tenant's insurance policy can also add an additional revenue stream to your business. Contact Derek Scott at 918-728-8992 or visit imgadvisors.com. To learn more, listen to the Property Management Mastermind Show podcast, episode number 36.
Tenants not changing their air filters? Costly HVAC repairs and unhappy owners got you down? Filter Easy is a subscription air filter delivery service that solves this problem by shipping filters directly to the tenant's front door when it's time to change. Tenants actually change them, which reduces HVAC-related maintenance calls by an average of 30%. Filter Easy's no-cost-you solution functions as a profit center to give you back time and money. Call 1-800-308-1186 today to learn more.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining us here. In this episode, I'm talking with Andy Wrighton, and he's a property manager from the Atlanta area. And so what we're going to be talking about is when Andy switched softwares and all the trials and tribulations of going through that, to include the pain on both sides of it, the lessons learned, because a lot of you out there may be thinking, oh, look at that shiny penny across the way. I'm going to go pick up that penny and rub on it and see what happens. So this is going to be a good episode for those that are looking at other software platforms, because I'm not saying it's either a good way or the bad way to go that direction, but you just got to be prepared for what you're walking into. And so you're going to get a few lessons learned out of this episode listening to Andy and I go over it. And he and I have been talking about it for, no kidding, a couple, 3 years. I mean, it's been that long in the making. So this is a fantastic episode of he and I getting on here and talking about real world stuff. So enjoy. Listen up. And welcome everybody to another edition of the Property Management Mastermind Show. I'm your host, Brad Larson. And today's guest, I have a longtime friend of mine, Mr. Andy Wrighton out of Atlanta. And so it's an interesting interview what we're going to be doing today. We're going to be doing what we used to call in the military an after action review. So the AAR of what we're going to be doing with Andy today is we're going to be reviewing his whole action of switching softwares. And it sounds a lot more sexy and glamorous than it really is, because if anyone's ever done a software switch, which I have and Andy has, you understand the pain involved. And so if you have not, we're going to illustrate the pain involved, and it's going to do a couple of different things. It might scare you to never leave. It might scare you to make the jump now. It might scare you to throw up your hands and sell your business. Who knows? So Andy, yeah. Without further introductions on that, how are you today?
I am great, and I'm happy to be here with you, and I appreciate the opportunity to participate in your show. Hope some of my experience can maybe be of use to some other property manager out there that's, you know, trying to figure out what to do.
I think it will be, because, you know, give us some background here. I've known you for quite a long time. You and I have had plenty of mastermind calls. This whole podcast show started off from conversations you and I have had, because whenever I needed to kind of go to somebody, I would talk with you, and there's a lot you can be, a lot that you've said. You're a very animated guy, can speak quite well. And so I want you to give the listeners some background of who you are, what you do, just so they have some context so we can get into this.
Sure. Well, I'm a property manager. Today I've got about 240 doors. During the big foreclosure chapter, I had as many as 350. And then in my town, Atlanta, it's one of the five or so epicenters of the foreclosure crisis, what we found is that the little property managers, the little hedge funds got bought out by the big ones. The big ones self-managed. So I saw a lot of my inventory blow out the door when that happened. I lost my hedge fund clients, and Atlanta's been in a huge escalation of property values over the last few years, and I'm right in the inner city. So I've been struggling to keep my inventory where I want it to be, but actually now it's starting to stabilize and I'm starting to grow a little bit again. So I'm kind of excited about that.
Yeah, throw in some of that and throw in some of the software challenges, and then you've had other challenges go on, and we're going to have a pretty good conversation here. So kind of some of the rules of the call is we're going to hide any of the names that you may have sought out to get research done on these particular products, but we cannot hide the name of the software. We're just going to have to throw it out there, and like it or love it or hate it or not, Andy switched from AppFolio to Rent Manager, had an experience with Rent Manager, and ended up switching back to AppFolio. So having said all that, now it's the cat's out of the bag and we can start talking about the details of switching. So the first thing I want you to go on about is talk about the exit from AppFolio in the beginning, because it's not just a simple click the switch and you're running a different software. You more than anybody knows the pain of switching, especially from AppFolio, who owns the data. You don't own that data. Tell us about that particular issue of coming out of AppFolio. So go at length through that.
Sure. And let me just ask, at one point, it was actually at a mastermind event convened by Todd Breen several years ago that led me to want to contemplate a change from one software product to another. So I'd like to talk about that, what led me to contemplate this mad folly, when I first embarked on it. But if you want to talk about the data transfer, sure, I'm happy to talk about that first. Okay, so yeah, AppFolio owns its data. You don't own it. It's on their platform. You can't get it out. There's no report that'll get your data out. It's a manual process, and there's no easy way to do it. Phone up the pro services group of whoever you're going to migrate to, in my case, Rent Manager, and they tell you what they need. And of course, what they're going to need is contact information for all your tenants, contact information for all your owners, ledger information, all the data that you have in terms of your work orders and that kind of stuff is going to be out there. And, AppFolio, basically, there are things that they're good at and things that I like about that program. But one of the trade-offs when you get in bed with AppFolio is you understand that they've got your data, they've got it hostage, they're not going to make it easy for you to get it out. And you're going to be paying Anu Pai of Planet Synergy, or in all likelihood, some other, Mike Sargent of Yes Virtual, or some other. That's what I would do anyway, is hire whoever's got the most cost effective offshore labor that is familiar with the process anyway, which both of them are. If you call up Anu Pai and you need to migrate, she may beg you not to, as she did in my case, But if you really say, Anu, I'm going to do this and I want you to help me with it, she will book the time and turn her people loose on it, But it's a trudge.
So one of the things I remember talking about with you, had to be a good 12 months, maybe 15 months ago, was I learned a new term from you called scraping data. So apparently that's what you have to do inside of AppFolio. And again, I'm going to try and keep this real neutral. I don't want to try and dog any particular software. They all have their pros and cons. So let's try and speak at a kind of a nice level here when we're talking about these softwares. So AppFolio, you have to scrape the data from, meaning you have to go physically in there and pull spreadsheets out for every single thing. And there's probably hundreds of spreadsheets that you got to pull out that will eventually be uploaded into another software. And that could be any other software you want to name. The exiting of that particular platform and going into a new platform, you have to scrape the data. And I highly would recommend to employ somebody like Anu Pai, Planet Synergy, to help you do that, because they can do that at a fairly effective rate for what it's going to cost you.
Yeah, your existing staff is not going to be equal to it, I would think, because you are probably running as skinny as you can, running as lean as you can, trying to keep, this is not all that fat a business, so none of us can have twice as many employees as we need to crank the handle on our day-to-day tasks just for the heck of it, So if you're running lean anyway, your ability to put two or three times your monthly output in terms of labor into a project like this doesn't exist for almost any of us. Mm-hmm. So I would think you're certainly going to need to engage some outside labor. And if you engage someone, is it okay if I refer to Anu by name in this? She was, I was her first property management client, by the way. She lives here in Atlanta. They were doing a wide variety of offshore work in their family-owned data center in Mangalore. I was the first property manager that they ever had. Now they've got, I don't know what, 80, 90 clients from coast to coast. But she's done migrations probably from every product to every product and, you know, knows a lot of the ins and outs of that. So
I highly recommend Anu Pai from Planet Synergy, by the way. This is not a plug for her. She's not a paid advertisement. We still use them on a lot of different levels. So I really recommend them for any sort of software switch.
As I do as well.
So here's the thing I want you to go into now. Talk about some of the things that convinced you to go to Rent Manager.
Yes. Well, I remember so well going out boating with you guys, you know, around Fort Lauderdale. So it was very nice. You were there. David Holt was there. Kevin Knight was there. Todd Breen was there. And there were half a dozen other property managers who were there. And we were talking about various kind of the holy grail of what we all wanted from a property manager's software. What do we want? And we wanted an API that was worth the name. You know, we wanted to be able to put data in and we wanted to be able to get data out. And it may be that Rent Manager still has the best of those in the business today. From what I've heard, that's probably the case. They probably do. They have the ability to get money. You can upload your data and you can take it out. You know, we wanted customization. And Rent Manager, you can add as many custom fields in there as you want. You can customize a lot of reports, not all, but you can customize many reports. So they used to say, actually, I went to a Rent Manager convention, a user conference in Orlando, I think it was. And they said, if you don't have at least 100 custom fields in your database, we don't think you're using the product to its full potential. So their expectation is that everyone's going to crank at least 100 custom fields into their database. And the main thing that a lot of us were talking about, because, you know, Todd Breen, of course, does he have 175 employees in his Philippine labor his data center down there, the ability to have low cost offshore labor and to have them participate, to embed that low cost offshore labor that works 24/7. You delegate it to them at night, coming in the morning, and all the work's done. It's beautiful. But you need for the basic processes of property management, the basic recurring processes of property management: tenant move in, tenant move out, new owner client onboarding, owner client termination, the monthly cycle of the rents coming in, all these, you know, the annual accounting cycles, all of these things are areas where we can embed low-cost offshore labor into our operations, but we need a way to track the workflow to say, okay, you know, we may have a checklist for new tenant move-in that has 120 items on that checklist. And some of them have to be done by the broker, maybe. Some of them have to be done by the bookkeeper that can move money. And then some of them might be done by a licensee, like executing a lease can only be done by a licensee. But then there's a lot of things down where that low-cost offshore labor can do a lot. But how does that offshore labor know when to do what they're supposed to do? And how do we know that they did it? Well, one of the leading proponents of Rent Manager did more. He's a past national president of the NARPM organization and a poster child for Rent Manager. And he's taken this further than just about anybody has. And he used their service. I think they call it Service Manager in Rent Manager, and it's their work order functionality. And that can be modified and has been modified by him and other property managers to automate any process in your company. It could be HR. How do you onboard new employees? How do you terminate an employee? All these things might have numerous steps by multiple employees, and it's a workflow that can be automated. You do it the same way every time. It has the same steps. And to me, it seemed like a perfect opportunity to say, okay, this is where I personally have to get involved. This is where a broker gets involved, where a licensee gets involved and does something in the process, where a bookkeeper, all that. Yeah.
So I want to go back a little bit, because you skipped over some of the research you did. All right. One thing that we talked about is you did a ton of research on this. I mean, a ton. So talk us through that, because
I heard these people. There were two property managers I knew who were past presidents of a national organization, highly respected property managers. And one of them, and I visited both of their shops. One of them I was able to drive to a neighboring state. They made time for me to sit in their businesses with them, talk to them about their migration experiences from, in one case, it was from a property where to rent manager. And he had done it in like the last 6 months. The other, I think, had always been on rent manager. I don't know what he was on prior to rent manager. He was a long time user of rent manager. But in both cases, they made time not only for me to interview them, but to interview their staff, you know, senior staff who use the product. And I got glowing reports, you know. It seemed like worth betting the company on, you know.
That's significant that because you know, I don't think anyone's going to go through the level of due diligence like what you did. So I wanted to bring that up because it just shows you just, you know, you just didn't wake up one day and say, hey, I'm going to make a switch. I mean, you really, deliberated over this for a long time and you went the extra mile of doing your due diligence.
Yeah, I was drinking the Kool-Aid. You know, I said, does a meaningful API where I can interact with other software programs and get data in and out, do something with that data, is that important? At the mastermind group that I went to with you and everyone else, everyone sitting around the table thought it was important, you know, is customization, the ability to customize that. You know, I mean, I use three different foreign outsourcers right now. I use two in the Philippines and one in India. They all do different stuff, you know. Well, how do I make that workflow work? How does that offshore resource know that he or she is supposed to do something? I thought this had tremendous promise and that it was worth the gamble for this. I thought it was the way of the future.
So let's talk a little bit about the experience of using Rent Manager from your honest perspective. So you made a few notes that we talked through beginning before this podcast started. I want you to kind of go through some of those and bring those up. I mean, I think they're very valid points and we're not really going to pull any punches on this podcast. So I want you to hit it from there.
It still gives me pause to realize how thoroughly I researched this and what a dreadful experience it was. I mean, I really look at it as the worst business decision I've ever made. The one that cost me the most, the one that made my employees the most upset, the one that cost me the most lost business in terms of upset customers that terminated with me and went with somebody else because they were unhappy at the experience they got with my company because of the rent manager migration. I mean, it just really went on and on. So I'm still not sure that I understand exactly how I got myself into so much trouble doing this. But anyway, the performance of the product is an incredible dog. And I don't know how it is that the other two guys that I talked to whose shops I visited, that this didn't come up, but it didn't. Okay, so it's, and forgive me because I actually have a past technology career. I used to work in video conferencing, actually. And I used to work in remote access and remote control and security. So these were all things that I have a past IT career in. So the way Rent Manager works is it's a Microsoft platform and you're taking over a workstation in a data center remotely. So most of us probably are standardized on Microsoft. Normally I log in and I see my Microsoft desktop. But once I've woken up a remote terminal session with a Rent Manager server, I have their desktop sitting on my workstation. And I did this for a living for many years. And so I'm used to realizing that I have, well, there's my local PC sitting on my desk and there's the virtual one sitting off somewhere else that I'm working on. That's second nature to me. It's not second nature to any of my employees. None of them have the technology background that I have. And it was really hard on them to get it. It's like, oh, if I hit print on my local workstation, then printer starts flying out of the paper here on the printer next to me. If I hit print on the one that's in the data center, wherever in the world, that one's not hooked up to my printer. And you have to navigate all that time. You have to map resources from that virtual machine that you're taking over to yours. So if you want to direct that print output to your printer, you have to map that every time you log on. If you want to upload documents to the product, or if you want the product to download documents to you, you have to configure that. And there's a way that it can be configured every time, but more or less there's a folder or a bin or a staging area where documents you want to put into the program, you copy them from your workstation to this intermediate folder, and then Rent Manager comes out and grabs it. And it's slow. Nobody understands it. It's buggy. And okay, slow. That's like you're clicking on it and you're waiting for something to happen. So there are plenty of reasons to be, there's plenty of reasons some of us quarrel with AppFolio, but one of the beauties of AppFolio, I think, is that it's, I think of it as like the Apple product of the property management world. It's beautiful to look at, it's intuitive, it's easy to use, and it's fast. So what my, yeah.
One thing you mentioned that I want to break you on there is, you talked about having to, when your staff was using it, they had to break, get off the phone with a tenant or an owner, research the issue inside of the platform, and then physically call the owner slash tenant back. I want you to talk about that because that's kind of troubling.
That's actually where I was going. That's where I'm going with this. So now, before and now, you know, I'm the once and current AppFolio guy. So client, you know, owner calls in, hi, I'm the owner. Boy, am I mad. I'm hopping mad. I'm so mad, you know, and you charge me for this and I don't know what it is. And this is the third time you fix the same thing or whatever the angry owner question is. And so my property manager is like, oh, Mr. Owner, you know, let me research this and explain to you what's going on. And he logs into AppFolio. She logs into AppFolio, holds up the owner's account and says, yes, I see the charge in your account. So really, you use that product too. How long does it, you know, and our employees can do that. Or if a tenant calls in and says, you know, wow, what is this dispo notice you've sent me? I've been served. The sheriff has come out. They say the marshal's coming with a set out crew. Why? I don't understand. What do I have to do to turn this around? Well, you want to go to that tenant ledger and tell them, yes, this is, you have to bring us this exact amount of money in certified funds and we will reinstate your lease and turn off the eviction, right? Well, we couldn't do that in Rent Manager. We couldn't do either one of those in Rent Manager. We would have to do exactly what you said. We'd have to say, wow, we're going to have to take a notice to who you are and what it is that you want, because the system was so slow that most of the time we couldn't answer those questions in real time. We're saying, oh, bring up the owner screen, click, hourglass, wait. Oh, you have a question about your ledger, click, hourglass, wait. The great majority, it was very rare that we could answer an owner or a tenant inquiry in real time. The product was that slow.
That's very concerning. Very concerning, because you're trying to provide a good service. That's what we do. We are a service business. And if you can't answer questions over the phone, I mean, that's one thing. We use AppFolio as well. And I've done a migration to where we went from a prior software to AppFolio. And you know, there's always the gripes. We can always complain about something, but I do think it's one of the better platforms out there to at least function as you want it to in real time. And it does actually work. So I do want you to spend some time now talking about the reconciliation challenges you had, because this was one of the drivers and what kind of, you know, set you forward is like, well, maybe this isn't the best decision I made. So talk about that.
Sure. Well, there's two flavors of the reconciliation. And again, this is the sort of thing where AppFolio, and there's things we can fuss about AppFolio for, and we talk about, boy, does it really gripe us out that we can't get the data, and it's so hard, we've got to hire somebody like Anupai to scrape all the data out, and it's laborious and manual intensive and all that. But consider the reconciliation process in AppFolio. How stressful is it for you? You know, and your staff, it's not very stressful for us. I got to say, it works like a champ. And so here's the specific thing that I was, there were two problems that we had with the reconciliation process in Rent Manager that drove us over the edge. The first is that in an AppFolio, so let's say I've got about 250 owners that get a check, and each check is the amount of $1,000. That's a simplification, but let's say that's the reality. So it's owner payment day. We've paid all the bills and reconciled everything, and everything's ready to go. It's time for somebody in my company to hit the go button, and all the owner payments are released. Well, on my bank statement in the next month, when I do my reconciliation, I see $250,000. Boom, gone. That's pretty easy. Then I go to do my reconciliation in AppFolio, and I say, okay, got my pen, you know, I'm going to say, check, 250 grand out the door, according to the bank. And now for AppFolio, oh, look, there's that same sum, this is the exact same amount, $250,000, boom, out the door. Well, in PayLease and Rent Manager, it's not that way. You're going to have to log into PayLease, and this is something we haven't talked about. Rent Manager and PayLease are very different companies. Rent Manager, they are in bed. When you sign up with Rent Manager, you must also sign up with PayLease, and all the incoming rents are going to be via PayLease, and all the outgoing owner payments are going to be via PayLease. we can talk about that, the lack of a NACHA file in Rent Manager, in a moment, but we're going to stay on reconciliations. So instead of being able to check off $250, I'm going to have $250,000. I'm going to have 250 $1,000 checks that have to be manually checked off. And if I had 800 owners that I paid, it would be 800 checks, right? It's a lot. And then a lot of them are for the same amount, right? They're for $950 or $1,250 or whatever our rents are running. It's not like, it's pretty easy to check off one $1,495 rent over here and another $1,495 rent over here and get something sideways because you posted, you have cleared something off that didn't exist or that didn't get paid, right? You have 20 different $1,495 rents and you didn't get them tallied off against each other properly. It can take many hours to get that done and it's completely unnecessary and they didn't have it fixed at the time that I left. It was a real nightmare. There were times when we thought we had it all done and then we were way at the end of something that maybe took hours to do and then the connection would break and we'd have to start over from the beginning.
Wow.
That was what the user experience was like.
Property Meld is made for maintenance work automation. Property Meld will work to schedule, remind, verify completion, and follow up with your residents automatically while providing the best-in-class communication system for your ease of use, your vendors, and your tenants. Begin reducing maintenance coordination time and increasing tenant satisfaction today. Learn more at propertymeld.com.
Let me talk about some of the AppFolio stuff, and this is not a complaint. This is more like a compliment because when we actually sit down and pay owners through AppFolio, what we end up doing is we go through everything and we're putting out $1 million a month in rent roll. And so that's how much we're sending out. And so essentially we collect in all the rents pretty easy and we produce a NACHA file. So you mentioned that earlier. And so the
right.
NACHA file comes out of AppFolio. We upload that into our bank, which is Seacoast Commerce Bank. Recommend everybody look into that if your state's going to allow it. Contact Allison DeSario with Seacoast. I really like them as a bank. They take the NACHA file and boom, just like that, snap your fingers. $1 million is out to all the owners and you can reconcile all that. And so I want you to spend a little bit of time talking about the triple tie because first define it. I mean, you can define triple tie better than anybody. I want you to define it for us and then talk about how those works in the softwares.
Yeah. Well, let me first talk about this concept of no NACHA file at Paylease. So Paylease is going to charge you a dollar or two or whatever for owner that you pay. No NACHA file is possible. So let's just pause for a moment and say, how wrong is that? You know, that they don't allow you to do a NACHA file. It's trivially easy, simple. All you can do a feature matrix of all, and you know them too, who has market share in our market. You know, we could name all the providers. You know, does Propertyware give you a NACHA file? Yes. Does AppFolio give you one? Yes. Does Buildium give you one? Yes. We could go on down the list, all of them. Do they give you a NACHA file? Of course they do. Why wouldn't they? Unless they're Rent Manager, because they're in bed with Paylease. And Paylease is making $1 or $2 a month for every single owner that you pay. Now think about what that number is. And they're making it every month. So there's the monthly number, which is not a very fun number for you. And then there's the annual number, which is the monthly number times 12. That's a really not fun number. And that's how much they're making off you every month by the simple expedient of refusing to provide a NACHA file. It's shocking. It's a big, big deal. And actually one of their biggest users who I'll just mention this, he figured out the past president of the National NARPA group that is a poster child for a Rent Manager, figured out how to way to go behind their backs and have a manual way to do it. And it was buggy and didn't work perfectly, but he did that because he wanted to be able to pay. He didn't pay his owners via Paylease. Who would? You know, I mean, he paid them out of a homemade NACHA file. It was buggy. Anyway, so the triple tie, I'll just go ahead and say, we'll see if you agree with this. I don't know if you do or not. I think 90% of the NARPA property managers that I know really couldn't define the triple tie.
That's why that's why I wanted you to define it first, because I want to make sure your definition jives with what I'm thinking. I'm hoping they are, but you know, we always have our accounting challenges here, but the triple tie is, that seems to be more of a prevalent topic right now in several consultancies I've been talking with. So I want you to just throw it out there, what you're doing with it. You define it and then relate it to the softwares.
So there's three legs to the triple tie. There's the bank statement that comes in, and that has to be reconciled with your software ledger, and that produces a reconciliation report. So those are the two of the three legs of the triple tie. And but there's a third leg, which is called the total liability amount that you're supposed to have in your trust account. So just to give you an example, let's say you took in all your, you had some move-ins and those security deposits were commingled. You got rent and security deposits in the same check. So maybe your normal, instead of two checks for $1,000, you got one check for $2,000. And so you got to deposit that in your rental operating account. I call it the rental operating account, the security deposit trust accounts. My state, Georgia, they prefer us to keep those separate. So I do. I have two trust accounts. And then one of the things that I need to do now, since I had a check, one check in the amount of $2,000, I had to receive it at move-in, have to put it somewhere. I either have to put the whole check in rental operating and transfer $1,000 into security deposit or vice versa. So let's say the whole thing goes into the rental operating account and we forgot to move it over, just flat out forgot. And maybe that happened five times in the same month in a shop as big as yours. That could probably happen. You have a lot more than five move-ins in a month. And you forgot to move it over. And, you know, the software is configured. Any money that's in that rental operating account that's not otherwise accounted for goes out the door to the owner. So you paid out five security deposits now to the owner. That's one way. That I'm just mentioning that as an example. Because now when you go to do your reconciliation, it's going to look perfect. You're going to say, oh, look. $2,000 came in, I took out my management fees, and the balance went to the owner. The reconciliation is not going to show a problem. But the triple tie will, because you paid secure. You're supposed to be sitting, you know, if you've got 1,000 properties under rent, and each of those properties has a $1,000 security deposit, is that $1,000,000? $1,000,000? So now you got $1,000,000 in your security deposit account. But if you paid five security deposits out to the owner in error, now you're short $5,000. And so your triple tie is going to account for that. You know, you're going to be able to say, okay, the bank rec is perfect, but I should have an adjusted cash balance, and the adjusted cash balance equals the cash balance plus deposits. So the bank balance at the end of the month on your bank statement, the last day of the month, let's say the 31st day of the month. Now we go to the reconciliation statement and we see that there's that same number, but there's deposits that the bank doesn't know about, as well as checks that the bank doesn't know about. And in our case, if you really do roll it over at the end of the month, your number could be really big for that adjusted cash balance, because there are going to be so many deposits in flight that the tenants have initiated that haven't hit the bank yet. You know, it could be hundreds of thousands of dollars, and probably is hundreds of thousands of dollars in your case. So the adjusted cash balance is what has to tie out with the total trust account liability number.
So compare that into AppFolio. You thought that was a fairly easy process using AppFolio to do that.
And actually much easier now than it's ever been before, because AppFolio has diagnostic features in there where, you know, they know how important this is for us as property managers. And if something's out, the AppFolio is going to flag it for you in several ways. So rather than doing a lot of manual research to try to figure out why it's off, or having to engage perhaps a really senior person who not only knows accounting really well, but knows AppFolio and property management business very, very well in order to ferret that out, these diagnostics are really going to highlight where you're at and say, oh, you know, you've paid this security deposit out to the owner instead of doing what you were supposed to do with it, and that's why you're out.
I want you to talk a little bit about owner statements, if we can transition into that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we use AppFolio again, and I think the owner statements are fairly understandable. I think we've seen other owner statements. We had the same kind of issues prior with other software as far as the reconciliations, because you start talking these single entries, and what your experience has been with, the $1,000 rents, you see 25 of them in the same statement. We had the same issue. But imagine a dollar convenience fee being charged. This was, you know, years ago, for every single tenant payment, a dollar convenience fee. So it goes into the bank as $300, but it's really 300 entries. So imagine that nightmare to reconcile, right? And it wasn't
easy. Yeah, right.
So I want you to spend some time on the owner statements and talk about the both sides for each of that.
Well, something we haven't touched upon that much is staff acceptance. You know, my staff love, and I tell you, that's really important, because they really, really were very upset with me for a really long time. They just hated that product, Rent Manager and Pay Lease, every single day. And because it was so hard to use, because the reconciliations were so hard, because the triple tie was so impossible, looking at owner statements, my agent who I have a point person whose sole job it is to interpret, to interact with owners, right? To do this customer service for my owner clients. And she had to explain their owner statements for them. And it was a real nightmare because that's really not that. It's hard for me to put words to it, how awful that whole experience was, but trying to get intelligible owner statements to the owners that they were happy with, that they could understand, never happened in Rent Manager. The owners loathed the owner statements, loathed them. In comparison, in Rent Manager, it's this, everybody loves it. My employees love it. The owners love it. We just never could get anything that we really liked. And let me just pause for a moment to say that when I go to an AppFolio user convention, everybody there is a property manager, pretty much. And most of them are in NARPA. When I went to a user convention for Rent Manager, I would say a tiny minority of us were third-party fee managers. Most of the people there owned their own inventory that they were managing. And there were many different kinds of properties being managed. They were built as apartment complexes, mobile homes, storage units, residential single-family homes, which is mostly what we do, wasn't heavily used. And one reason I say that is because I think that their constituency isn't us, that is third-party fee managers. I think that may be one reason why the owner statements were so, so awful, why the triple tie experience was so, so bad and virtually impossible to carry out, is because maybe only a tiny percentage of their user base even cares about either one of those issues. You know, we care about it a lot. And
so circling back on this, the API thing, because this is going to go into the customization conversation I want to have with you next. A lot of these folks are, you know, AppFolio has a closed API. There's some griping about that. You know, you can take it with for what it's worth. Rent Manager had more of an open API. However, your experience was a little bit, you know, different on that. So I want you to talk about through that on the limits of customization that you saw in the platform.
Yeah, so there are a lot of things you can do. There's plenty of stuff where you can, you not only can, but you're encouraged to. And Rent Manager say, here's my basic owner template and my basic tenant template, but there's 25 other things that I really care about. You know, we have access devices to the tenants. If it's in a condo, there might be 3 or 4 or 5 different access devices: the fob, the key, the front door. What was routinely happening was the tenants were moving out and losing all those keys, not giving them back to us. And the HOA was charging me maybe $200 to rebuy all that stuff to give it to the next tenant. I would want to pass that cost off to the owner. But the owner would say, oh no, you had the opportunity to recover that $250 that the HOA is charging me to give you all 5 access devices. You had the opportunity to recover from the tenant, but you didn't. So I don't want to pay it again. You eat it. And a lot of times we did eat it because we did have the opportunity to recover from the tenants and we didn't. So anyway, that's an example of customization that's unique to my shop that most people don't track. But we have, what are the access devices that we've given to the tenant that we're going to hold the tenant responsible for at move out?
Well, talk us through about, you know, you mentioned that there's some cost to some of these customizations.
Well, that kind of customization, there wasn't cost to, but if you want a Rent Manager's Pro Services group is a nice revenue center for them. And they make a lot of money off of it. And if you want, there were many reports that I assumed going into the process that I would be able to customize easily that I couldn't customize without Rent Manager Pro Services input. And so per report that you have them customize for you, it's a minimum of $2,500. You know, per report. So that can add up pretty fast. And I was dismayed once I got in the product that there really are, I don't know how to put it. I've never done database design, but in their databases, there's certain data that can't be pulled from data that's not in the same silo. I don't know if I'm using the right technical terms. There are limitations. So it wasn't like it was completely unlimited. Even if you had the $2,500 per customer report for them to create for you, there were certain things that you just couldn't have, period. So the customization, there were limits to the customization.
So anything you wanted customized, you'd have to spend $2,500 to do that.
Not anything, but certain things. There were certain reports There are certain places where you could customize a report to a greater extent than you can in AppFolio, where you could design a report, decide where you wanted the data to go, how you wanted it to look, pull reports from, you know, pull fields from different kinds of reports and get some math going in there. And it was more flexible than any other product that I know of. But I was surprised once I was in it that there were certain things that I were requesting that I was not able to do, that wasn't available for any amount of money. So it was not an infinitely flexible system.
You did mention something earlier about a two-factor authentication. Talk us through that.
Yes. Okay. So two-factor, I used to sell this kind of stuff. You know, Radius was one. There's a bunch of products out there that are still around where you have you have your user ID and your password, but then there's a one-time only code that's generated. Nowadays, most people, it's on their phone, which worries me because someone can take a hold of your phone. They can pose as you to T-Mobile or AT&T or wherever you get your phone service for, get a hold of you. Once they hack your phone account, they can then hack your two-factor authentication, which worries me. But anyway, in AppFolio, I actually use bill.com as well to pay my company bills. And anytime money leaves my company these days, it's going to be either by bill.com or by AppFolio, and for either payment of bills, or I pay my owners through AppFolio, not through a Notcha file, but using the AppFolio native service for that. And I get a code on my phone and I have to authenticate that way as well. And it goes out the door. That was not the case at Rent Manager PayLease. So shall I tell you the saga around that? So I had hired a bookkeeper that had extensive experience with PayLease. So as you know, PayLease is much bigger than Rent Manager. It's a very big company. And he had worked in a number of different apartment complexes and was a power user of PayLease, which I did not know when I hired him. And I hired him through a temp agency. It was a temp to perm arrangement. I was going to use him as kind of a junior bookkeeper, and I had a senior person, and it was in 2 or 3 days a week that did some of the more heavy lifting for me. Well, when she was in the toilet, he acquired her log on to PayLease out of her purse, is what the police and I believed happened, posed as her. And let me see if I can get into this. So I mentioned that in PayLease, when you're doing your bank rec, you have to get when you're doing your bank reconciliation, you've paid all your owners out of PayLease, which you have to do if you're in Rent Manager, no Notcha file option. You're going to need a breakdown of all the owners that you paid in order to do your reconciliation, because all those payments are going to have to be batched appropriately and tallied off against your bank statement. Well, so far as I know, this is a vulnerability that is still in effect today. Anyone that uses Rent Manager and PayLease, any one of us, say a NARPM, a third-party fee manager who has to do triple ties, has to do monthly bank recs, has to pay many owners every month, is going to have to go into PayLease and download a report that allows them to itemize those owner distributions that went out that show up as large numbers on the bank statement. You have to get them from PayLease. You can't get them from within Rent Manager. And at the time I was on the product, and so far as I know still, you have to... If you have authority to pull that report, then you also have the authority to, without limitation, enter in fake payees and initiate distributions to those payees out of the trust account. And that happened to me. This guy did that. He quit after several months. And then 2 or 3 weeks after he left, I noticed some large payments coming out of my trust account. And I called my bank. I called PayLease to get it shut down. But we're talking about tens of thousands of dollars here. And PayLease did not then, and I believe they do not now, have a two-factor authentication solution in place to prevent that from happening. AppFolio does, and I use it, and that was one of the reasons I went back to AppFolio. If that protection had been in place for me at the time I was on Rent Manager and PayLease, then this fraud would not have occurred, because the money could not have left the company without my authentication.
So the end of that, what happened was, far as you know, were you kind of shut off, or what happened towards the end?
That actually was the occasion of my returning to AppFolio. I was on the phone with senior management at both. At that point, I was on the phone with senior management. I was on the phone with the general counsel and the chief operating officer of PayLease, as well as some senior people at Rent Manager. And in the end, what they did is, you know, as you know, there's only one way to pay owners. out of Rent Manager, which is Paylease, since I was sideways with them over this fraud, they just turned off my account. They just turned it off. So that means that in a few weeks, I had owners to pay and no way to pay them. That's the choice they made with me. And as it turned out, I had never turned off AppFolio. And I think for that matter, I've never turned off Rent Manager. I'm still paying $75 a month for Rent Manager so that I have access to the data that is still stored over there just in case there's something that I need to refer to that I didn't pull out. It's worth it for me to pay $75 a month to have access to the time that I was with them. And I did the same thing with AppFolio. And since I still had a live account with AppFolio, to their, you know, we can fuss at them if we want to, you know, but when I needed them to come through for me to enable me to do a full-blown migration back from Rent Manager into AppFolio in like 2 weeks, they did it. They got it done. And I was able to pay my owners on time with no errors. But I had that was not a fun time. It was a high-risk time. It turned out perfect, but there was no guarantee up front that it was going to turn out perfect. And AppFolio made that possible for me. And Rent Manager and Paylease made it necessary.
I mean, you've gone full circle with us on this episode. I really appreciate it because we've seen kind of the good and bad on some of the softwares. I mean, it's what we go to these conferences and you see the marketing people and everything's rosy, and then you talk to them and then you compare it to your current software, and the concept of the grass is greener on the other side really starts to get you. It's like, what am I missing on the other side? And so one of the things that's really missing from what we all have is a workflow management system. And you would agree with me on this, and hopefully somebody along the same lines comes up with something in the near future. We're looking at ways to integrate into HubSpot, and there's others that are using Podio. And maybe someday all of this will come together in a magical one does it all software to include accounting and payments and all the other stuff. In the meantime, if you sat down and looked at your business, I bet you're using 10 different platforms. And we discovered that recently just by counting them up. Okay, you're using DocuSign for this. You're using AppFolio for that. You're using QuickBooks. You're using, you go on and on and on. And so we're trying to compile all that into one particular software platform, or at least only two or three. And it's not an easy thing to do. But going back to the softwares as far as this experience you had is good for everybody to hear because it's an honest, real deal. This happened to this person and he didn't do anything, you know, from what I can tell, you did not do anything at the Brad Larson level of, I don't care, I'm just jumping in. That's one of my faults. I'll tell you straight up is I implement fast, but sometimes it's my own fault. You took this due diligence very, very slow. And when you implemented, you went full force as you needed to, but it was a long decision-making process. Cause I think you and I had several conversations about it. And I said, well, I'm going to watch what you do and see how it goes before I make a decision to switch. And we just never did. You know, just there's a lot of things that came up and we never switched and we're still with AppFolio. And so it's an interesting concept to hear what all happened to you. So I really appreciate you coming on. Just give me a couple minutes here, kind of what you thought of the whole experience as a summary.
One of the things that I have come away with, San Antonio is an interesting city because there's so many property managers there that I really like. And one of your competitors is also on AppFolio, was telling me that he went on a really big, he spent a large amount of his treasure converted, kind of like I did, going to a very complicated product, but his staff hated it and couldn't use it, you know? So what I have now is a much, the fact that the staff love it, that it's easy for them to use, that it's almost soothing to them, you know, that in AppFolio, there's this universal search bar and you can just start, you know, I can type in 9611 or just some random stretch of characters. And that could be an invoice number, a work order number, a deposit number, a phone number, you know, it could be the beginning of an address. And AppFolio is going to try to figure that out. You know, they can have somebody on the phone and go from one screen to another, and it's intuitive. They're not looking at a manual to figure out how to do it. They're just intuitively driving through the product, you know, and that's worth a lot. That is really worth a lot. That ease of use is huge for them. And things like, it still gives me pause that I didn't that these user issues that are such showstoppers for me seemed not to be showstoppers for some of my for these industry leaders out there that I had so much respect for. And in one case, had been kind of a mentor to me over the years, and I don't think he had any desire to throw me under the bus. I mean, he wished me well, right? Was happy to give me some of his staff time and his time to walk me through his own experience with the product. And some of these things, like the virtual impossibility of completing the triple tie, for example, which we didn't, you know, that, I mean, the reconciliations were hard, but the triple tie in Rent Manager was all but impossible to carry out. And I showed you the worksheet I shared with you before this meeting, the worksheet that I used for that, just to try to be clear about, this is what the triple tie is. This is what I have to do to comply with the Georgia Real Estate Commission.
I want you to talk about that. Talk about that a little bit more, because before we close this out, people don't understand as far as, okay, great, you're doing reconciliations for you. That's fine. But they don't understand necessarily in certain states like Texas, we don't have anything like this, where the state can invade your office and say, show me your reconciliations right now at any time.
Prove that you did it.
Yeah.
And if you haven't done it, and that form that I sent you, you know, the first top, you know, the first page of it or two, is all about stuff that's required by law in my state or through the rules of the Georgia Real Estate Commission, where it's not just a good idea. We have to do it. And if you aren't doing it, then they can revoke your license. They can sanction you up to revocation of your license. And they take it really seriously. So that, again, is, I won't necessarily say it's effortless. I'm using another Philippine bookkeeping service to do the heavy lifting for all that for me now. You know, Philly, I'm real happy with them. And they have their hands in the reconciliations and the triple ties for a lot of different companies using AppFolio now. And they tell me that mine is quite squeaky clean compared to most of them that they see, which makes me feel good. But mine is, it's when you're in a state that it is squeaky clean, keeping it squeaky clean isn't that much work, you know, because if it's perfect and all you're doing is continuing a chain of perfection from one month to the next in your trust account records, it's not that much work. But to clean up a big mess is a lot of work.
So a couple of lessons learned that I always take away from this, and we've had some trying challenges here for 2018, is the fraud issue that you suffered. You know, we have been in a similar situation, and I can't really talk about it yet, but, you know, we've gone down that road. I would encourage the listeners out there to seek out good quality accountings and trust, but verify. Trust that your people are doing it inside your office, but get it verified some way, somehow, from a neutral third party who has no vested interest in trying to take money from you. Because you got to, trust and verify. I mean, I say that.
Make sure you're using two-party authentication. Something I am, it's on my list to very quickly get to something like LastPass, where I'm not just using my same password for everything, but have a long, you know, hard to crack password in there. I haven't done that yet for all my accounts, but I need to, and I'm planning to. Beyond that, I don't know how much more, other than making sure that you're doing all the checks and balances in your own bookkeeping, but two-factor authentication and something like LastPass, I think, is important.
A lot of it is internal. And again, it's having multiple people potentially look at your systems. Because if you know, here's the thing, if people would know that they're going to be checked on and looked after, they're not going to steal it from you as well. If you have a bookkeeper in your office and they're doing things, and then they know that a third-party CPA system is looking at what they're doing the following month, they're less apt to steal. If they think they can get away with it, and here's the thing that really bothers me about some of this is people that you would talk to about potential fraud issues, the first thing they say, Andy, and you could agree with me, that'll never happen to me. Never happen to me. Oh. I trust my uncle. I trust my brother, sisters, cousins. You know, they're all doing the great thing. They all love me. It's never going to happen to me ever, ever, ever. And you and I have no different, and say, you could be, we've seen husband and wife teams, you know, do this. We've seen brothers and sisters. So, I mean, you would think it would never happen to people, but it does. And so going back to the Reagan mantra, trust but verify. Well done. So let's end this on a high note. This has been a great conversation. I really appreciate you coming on. This has been fantastic. I really think people are going to get a lot out of it, because it's a truthful after action look at what you went through in the Rent Manager and AppFolio experience. So again, Andy, appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much, and take care. Mm-hmm.
Choose Seacoast Commerce Bank as your property management bank of choice. Seacoast Commerce Bank specializes in trust accounts and business banking for property managers. One of their best features is a cash analysis program where they can assist in paying your property management related invoices. Contact Allison at 619-988-6708 to learn more. And be sure to listen to the Property Management Mastermind Podcast, episode number 26, about Seacoast Commerce Bank.
This show is sponsored by the best home inspection software on the market for property managers. We endorse and use Z-Inspector as our software of choice for our team to document home inspections. We particularly like their 360 degrees camera system that produces amazing views of the interior room. Your clients will love Z-Inspector documented inspections you provide them. Visit www.zinspector.com to learn more.
This has been a podcast episode by PropertyManagementProductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast, leave us feedback, and come back for our next episode.